VSN Arcade Podcast.
Did I ever tell you what the definition of insanity is?
Ah! Minion! Draw their fire with your face!
Not the smartest way to greet the heavily armed group that just kicked in your door.
Head to virtualsportsnetwork.com and sign up for the forums today.
Hey, fellow viewers out there in podcast land, welcome to another special edition of the Virtual Sports Network Arcade Radio Podcast, sponsored by virtualsportsnetwork.com/forums. Sign up for the forums today. We are here to talk about video games in episode number 81 of this podcast. Without further ado, I am special co-host Jay Dizzle. Along for the ride with me this evening is the one and only master producer himself, Mr. Swarley. How you doing?
Playing games, building Legos. Life can't get much better.
No, it cannot. Also, along for the ride this evening is the one and only one-armed assassin himself, Mr. Nub. How are you?
Oh, if this controller doesn't work, I might break something.
Please do not rage over that after trying to get a super high score in Resogun.
My high score's so higher than yours.
I don't care! Shut up! And the man who's chuckling to himself is the one, the only, the infamous I Am Eddie Ian. Welcome back, how are you?
What up, baby? You know what, Nub? It ain't even worth it for you to fucking rage out, because any rage out that you produce, Nub, ain't gonna touch the J-Rays that just fucking unleashed after that Ahsoka game.
It is a very good thing I did not have my controller microphone plugged in, and that Twitch does not record any PlayStation 4 gameplay whenever you
It's speak. A very good thing that you have that parental advisory explicit lyrics warning on your page.
Yep. Unfortunately, we were still attached to Skype at the time, and I do apologize for any earlobes that were busted at the time. But we are here to talk about
Pokemon.
What?
Oh, shit.
Are you playing Pokemon scrounging up berries for some reason?
God damn right, Pokemon gotta eat berries.
And this is what version of Pokemon you play?
Motherfucker, this Pokemon Y on my 3DS XL, this is fucking sexy as shit. It is by far my favorite handheld right now.
Awesome. What else have you been playing recently?
I haven't been playing shit, man. I got Pokemon, I don't need nothing else.
Pokemon on the mind, on the brain, all the time. Good to hear. Dub, what have you been playing recently?
More Thunder. A Warframe. But the controller won't fucking work.
Don't rage over your controller.
No, but I can't play if the controller isn't working.
Is it the sticks or what's going on?
The only button that works is the PS button. Nothing else works.
Okay. So I would just tell you maybe turn off the system and the controller for a little while, put it back up. If it's not working, then it's not working right now. I don't tell you. Maybe charge it up.
The light's on.
What color is the light on the controller?
Blue.
Is it white?
Blue.
It's blue.
Blue, Jay. Blue.
I don't know. They're plugging in with the USB cord if it ain't plugged in already. I don't know, but I'm hoping it'll work in the meantime or in the near future, because if it doesn't, that is $60 down the drain, and that's
Fuck
very
that.
Sad.
Fuck that. I'm calling them Japs.
Racist. Okay, last but not least, Swirly, I do need to know, what have you been playing recently, man?
It has been a week full of sim racing with Gran Turismo 6 and Forza Motorsport 5.
Sweet. Now, I don't want to ruin the next segment of this podcast, but without too many spoilers, how are the games playing for you?
I love them both.
Good to hear, good to hear. And if anybody actually cares what I've been playing recently, I've also been playing Resogun and getting my ass handed me handily by the one-armed assassin, Mr. Nub, by at least 2 million points.
Oh, way more.
And like Med said, I raised
your score
a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's God. It's just like curb-stopping your score. In fact, only one beer left is also curb-stopping. Jay, there's a lot of people curb-stopping your score right now.
There is 3 people that are currently beating my high score in experience.
3 people that you know of, right?
I know of, and a whole bunch of people that I haven't, and nobody's beating 630 billion plus. That's
I don't believe that number
is that billion or million?
It's billion. Well,
Jay, you don't even know.
I think
you're just No, it's million. Yeah, it's million. I'm wrong.
He's just making up numbers.
Yeah. No, it's million. I don't know why I said billion. It was just only 6 figures. Anyways, number's too big. Somebody cheated. But yeah, other than Resogun, what have I been playing recently? WWE 2K14, not too bad.
Did you play that shit?
Yes, I did.
Really?
It's it plays just like 2K13, WWE 13.
I like that game. Didn't you like sell it like a month after?
I beat it, and there was no other reason for me to play it. This one, still working on the whole. It's weird because like through when you played through the Attitude Era stuff for the single player on 13, it was like once you beat it, it's like you got everybody, and then you're done with it. But it was a cool storyline to go through. This is just play all the main events of each WrestleMania that they pick out, and it's just. There's nothing to it. It's just a big long list of matches I have to beat in order to unlock everybody, and it's very boring. And I haven't had time to beat it all, and that's why I'm still playing it. So
it sounds like something you should be playing more often.
No, I just don't.
I mean, the way you described it, boring as shit. Man, get on that.
I mean, it's decent if you take video games that are wrestling games, other than that. Yeah, whatever. Boring stuff. Anyways, moving right along. Next topic on this list here is Forza 5 versus Gran Turismo 6. And like I said before, person who knows the most about this is the man himself, Mr. Swirly, since he's got both games now. Starting with Forza 5, what do you like and dislike about the game, Swirly?
Well, the game, I mean, the first thing I noticed about the game when I fired it up is it's fucking gorgeous. I mean, you're not going to find many better looking racing games anywhere. It's fantastic. As per usual with Turn 10, everything that is in the game looks very well. The cars are all well done. Sounds are well done. Handling, all the mechanics, very well done. They tinkered with the menu, which really threw me off at first. It took me a little while to understand where I was going. Because the other menus in Forza games, they're different from each other, but they're basically the same. But this was just, it took me a while. And I was a little annoyed at first, but it's not bad now. A lot of things that they've been dogged for, one is the microtransactions, and it's not just that microtransactions were added, it was that the economy in the game was nerfed a little bit, and a lot of people took that as, oh, well, now you need to buy these microtransactions, which, coming from somebody who's played the series for more hours than I care to say. That's not really true. I mean, it may have taken longer to get the money that you needed for a specific car. But, I mean, in Forza 4, I had more money by the end of the game than I knew what to do with. So, I mean, a little more grinding. If you love racing sims on the console, I mean, grinding is half the fun of the game. I mean,
sorry to interrupt, but would you say that the grinding for Forza 5, like you say, it's worth it if you're like a true racing sim fan or if you're a fan of the series? Does it feel like you have to put in at least 2-3 days to get a decent car in a game, or do they start you off with a decent set of wheels, or what's the deal with that? Is it just like, if you want the best stuff, do you have to put the time into it, or is it just like, once you put X amount of days into it, you're assured something?
I mean, in this game, they don't hand you out anything anymore. It's all credit rewards. Like, in previous games, when you leveled up to a certain, like, from the beginning up to a certain level, when you leveled up, you would get car rewards and stuff like that, but now it's all credit money. I mean, they've updated it to where there's a leveling multiplier right now, and you're earning a little bit more. So I mean, it's not like it was right at launch. And then they're also patching it in next week to where all of the cars in the game will be significantly cheaper. So, I mean,
now, is that going to be a permanent fix, or is it going to be like, was it like a times two multiplier weekend for a shooter game?
The credit and leveling multiplayer. Multiplier, I believe, is a timed-only thing, but the thing with making all the cars cheaper, that is a permanent fix.
Because, like, I've been hearing a lot of stuff when it comes to the microtransactions and the cars is costing so much damn money. Like you said before, if you are a really big fan in this racing game or just racing sim racing games in general, you're going to be more than willing to put your time into stuff like this, especially if you bought the Xbox One to play this game exclusively.
Like I did.
Like, you know what you're getting into, but it's just... Well, cars that are, like, what, 5 million credits... It takes way too fucking long to put in it. And, like, a lot of people get bored before they even do that. And that's why you pay, like, $10 to get those cars that you want.
Like, I understand where people are coming from. And Turn 10 has been really good about responding to all the criticism. I mean, for VIP people with the game who got the limited edition at launch, they've given them, they gave them the Lotus E21 Formula One car, which is a $6 million car. They've got the Forza rewards now, and from all my time playing Forza 4, that earned me 4 million credits going into Forza 5, so that was pretty nice. So I understand where people are coming from with that. It didn't bug me as much, because, I mean, when it comes to these games, I love the grinding aspect to it, but, I mean... I don't blame anybody for complaining about it.
It definitely sounds like it. Like if you're going to pre-order the game, or if you're going to get like a limited edition, it sounds more like if you want to play this game, especially with Forza 5, it sounds like the incentive programs are more of a reason to get this stuff early than waiting and getting the regular version. Because it sounds like a lot of this stuff, unless you, I don't want to say pay to win, but if you're trying to get something, I guess like a be part of a specialty club, you give X amount of dollars. Like, it sounds like you got to spend a little bit extra to get these better things versus them just having a regular game.
I mean, I wasn't going to miss out on the limited edition this time, but now that I got the Lotus F1 car, which was like my holy grail in this game, I mean, it was definitely worth it for me. But kind of segueing into GT6 with my final thought on Forza 5 is, I mean, there's also a lot of complaints on the lower amount of content in the game, like cars and tracks, and they've definitely responded to that. They understand why people are upset about that. There's significantly less cars and tracks. There's 14 tracks and there's 200 cars at launch. They will be adding cars and tracks as DLC.
How much those will cost?
What's the comparison to Forza 4?
Forza,
as far as like cars and tracks are concerned,
it's probably about cut in half.
Shit.
I mean, but here's the thing where I kind of bring GT6 into this. The whole reason that they've done this is because they didn't want to port over any of their really bad models. Like they took out the Nürburgring track because, I mean, even people on VSN will say that their version of that on last-gen consoles was just awful. And they've gotten to a point where they're laser scanning every car and track that they put into the game. And so, I mean, for it to be top quality and for the game to look this good, I understand that they need to cut some of that stuff for now. Because when you got a game like Gran Turismo 6, they've still got a lot of models and stuff from the PS2 era. And back on GT5, there were some cars that just looked utterly fucking terrible. I mean, it was really bad. I mean, they've cleaned up a lot of those cars, but they still have those previous gen models in there, and you can still tell that they don't look near as good as their newly scanned stuff. Yeah. So I mean, either you get some stuff cut for now, and the game looks the absolute best that it can be, or you do the GT way and you still have previous gen stuff in there that looks like shit, but I mean, it's still in there. I mean, when it comes to me in GT6, I don't even use the non-premium cars, which are the ported over versions. They have no interiors. They look crappy on the outside. I mean, I don't use them anyways, so I mean, that's one big reason why I don't blame Turn 10 for what they did with Forza 5, because I'd really like my stuff to look really good, even if
you would definitely prefer a polished product versus something that's just sounds like it's a bulk product, because it has a bigger tally of cars and a bigger tally of tracks, but that doesn't mean that they look great, especially for what they're trying to do for this current gen.
Right. I mean, GT6's tracks, they're all good. It's just their bloated car count. Definitely, I mean, there's a good handful that are PS2 era cars that just don't look that good. And I mean, I get it. The Turn 10 needs to get some stuff redone. And I just read an article today that it takes Turn 10 about 9 months to fully scan and get a track into the game. So I mean, that's a lot of work, but I mean, if it means that my tracks are actually authentic and not piles of crap like their Nürburgring version was, then I'll deal with that. I mean, there's still more content now than when they came over to the 360 generation. I mean, so.
Well, the good news is nobody has to worry about putting out a game's contents within like 6-8 months and consistently pushing out the same shit over and over and over again and just having bigger and bigger numbers at the end of the game names. But in talking about Gran Turismo 6, how does that play in comparison to Forza 5?
It really is a really good game. When we did our Games of the Generation cast, I was very adamant that Forza Motorsport 4 was absolutely my racing game of the generation. But now that I've put quite a lot of time into GT6 over the past week, that has surpassed Forza 4 for me. I mean, yeah, they have some PS2 quality cars. I don't use them, so it doesn't. I mean, it's no big deal for me. But I mean, they've got a good amount of real life tracks, which I absolutely love. They added three new real life tracks, I believe. No, four, and they're all top quality. It's something. It's a good contrast between Forza and Gran Turismo, because you get things in one game that you can't get in the other. Like in GT6, you've got night racing, you've got rain racing, you've got some rallycross. I mean, there's a lot of cool things in that game that you can't get from the competitors. And I mean, it's a really good game. And I mean, even when I went back to it last night after picking up Forza 5, I still wanted to play it. It was a little tough picking up the DualShock 3, though, because the sticks are so damn loose that it's hard to get the precision sometimes that you want. But I mean, the game plays good. It looks good. It looks really good for a PS3 era game. And I mean, it's the single player is where it really stands out. Forza has never been a top quality single player game. It's been quite boring. They did kind of fix that a little bit this time with their leagues that you can pick in the single player. It's still not GT good, but I mean, in GT you've got six different license levels, and you've got series for each different one that you use different types of cars for. And you have to get so many stars to unlock a license test. And I absolutely love the license tests. And unlike GTE 5, where you just do the licensing and it didn't mean anything in the game other than getting some trophies, you actually have to earn your licenses to unlock the next tier of racing series. And, I mean, I absolutely love the licensing aspect of the game. It's a lot of fun. And then once you get up to those higher ranked levels, you've got some really good type of racing series, like doing a GT3 series. You've got Super GT, and you know, I was kind of excited to get into a NASCAR and try that, but the fucking AI is just so asshole-ish that it kind of ruined that series for me. But I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff in that single player. And if you're a single player, if you're a sim racer who really digs a single player, you definitely gotta play GT6.
Now, I gotta ask, when it comes to licenses, you say, like, you only get access to better races, race types, as long as you progress through your licenses. Does that limit you with getting cars as well? Like, if you don't have, let's say, a B-class license, then you can't get B-class cars, or is it just a matter of money, whatever you unlock?
No, all cars are open for you to get whenever, as long as you have the money for them. Just the licenses allow you to get to those races that use better cars. They're longer races, and they have quite a bit bigger payout as well each time you level up to a new class.
Okay. My next question is: have you played any online racing for either of these games?
I have played for both. We played, what was it, me, JMS, his buddy Goat, Atlas was there, and this British dude that they've been racing with for a couple weeks now. We did some private races. It was a ton of fun. It was a lot of fun. It's basically set up not a whole lot differently. In GT6, it's set up just about the same as GT5, where you just have a lobby, the host picks a track and all the settings, and you can have an open practice session where all the cars can just work on their tunes and whatnot, and go around the track at the same time, whatever. They have qualifying sessions in the lobbies, and then you can start your race from there. I really enjoy how GT does their online lobbies. That's quite a bit fun, because I usually like to spend a good 10-15 minutes just with everybody, just doing some tuning and testing. That's quite a bit of fun.
How is the tuning and testing in comparison with the two games? Is it feel better on with Forza, or is it feel better on GT6?
I mean, they're both of them do it very well. I enjoy how it's set up in GT. I like a little bit better. I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with Forza's way of doing it. I just how the menus are and how they go about it in GT, I like that a little bit better. But at the same time, kind of on the same note, in GT, they still don't have a livery customization option. So you can't say I had the Mercedes-Benz GT3 car. I can't go out and custom paint it like one of the drivers in the FIA GT series like I could with Forza. I mean, in Forza, you can customize it however you want. You can go out and download somebody else's livery if you suck at it like I do. And there are some really good artists out there who do some good stuff. And I really wish Gran Turismo would get on top of that, because that's a fantastic aspect of Forza.
I'd say that if you're still worried about them trying to reskin PS2 game era cars in Gran Turismo 6 on the last vestiges of PlayStation 3, they might not get to livery till like what, mid PlayStation 4, if they decide to put a GT7 on the series system.
It might
take a little while.
GT7 is said to be, they've already been, they've been at work at it for a while. It's kind of, kind of a dual development thing, and they said it'll be out in 1 to 2 years. So I, on the PS4, they had damn well better have a customization option in that area.
You think it'll be like one of those Project 10 games where you pay X amount of money and pay an extra 10 to upgrade it to PlayStation 4, you think?
I don't know. Since it's going to be GT7 and not... Originally, people thought it would just be a new version of GT6, mm-hmm. which that definitely would have had like an upgrade option and portable stats. But now that they've announced that it will be GT7, I'm not so sure.
Okay. Final question for this stuff. If you could only play one game in the foreseeable future, for whatever reason you couldn't play the other game, if you had to pick between playing Forza 5 or GT6, which one would you rather play?
I would say, I mean, it's kind of tough because they're on different generations of consoles. If you had both systems, a PS3 and an Xbox One, I would say if you're into multiplayer racing, I would go Forza 5. If you're into single player, I would go Gran Turismo 6.
Okay. Well, I'm very happy you have access to both these games. Have spirited reviews for both these games. I myself been playing Gran Turismo 1, 2, played a little bit of 3, but I haven't really kept up with the series since. It does sound like more Sony-based racing. Obviously, you want to get with Gran Turismo 6, but Forza 5 definitely sounds better, especially if, like yourself or a lot of the folks on VSN running racing leagues, maybe wanting to skew more towards Forza 5 if they have access to an Xbox One. But I'm very happy that both these games are great, and they're not like one's very disappointing versus the other one, which is awesome. Like, you can get either or, and you'd be just fine.
Yeah, they're both very, very good games.
Very cool. Med, you still with us?
He's so into that Pokemon.
I'm kind of asking him if he wants to review Pokemon. Med, you here?
What up?
You need to review Pokemon. You ready?
Dude, I'm in the middle of a fucking game right now. I'm in the middle of a fucking battle. Just go to the next segment. Let me finish this shit. Holy shit.
How long is your battle going to take?
I don't know, motherfucker. I got a Hone Edge on me right now. It's Hone Edge versus Hone Edge. It's a meeting of the steel. This shit is epic. Hit me back, alright?
Okay. He's very into Pokemon. It sounds like it's a good thing, especially since he's playing Pokemon Y. Best wishes, and I hope he wins. Let's move on to the next segment, though, because just like that train wreck, we're going to talk about the train wreck that was the VGX.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, we're talking VGX? Hold on, let me press start.
Son of a bitch.
Wait, let me press start.
Good, press start.
All right, I'm there. You know what? I could just close this thing. I love my 3DS, man. I just close it. Bam! My game's paused. All right, let's burn some shit down.
Alright, 5-second review. Pokemon Y, worth playing?
No, just get to the VGX. I'll review Pokemon after that. Yes. The fire's burning, baby.
Suck. Okay, VGX. Who here watched VGX besides myself?
Unfortunately, yes.
I think we all watched. Wait, no, did you watch it?
Watched most of it.
Okay. Wait, Jay, did you watch all of it?
I watched most of it. I tried watching it for any and all decent trailers, and then what I ended up seeing was a bunch of, for lack of a better term, bullshit.
Wait a second. So were you, like, flipping, like, in and out, or were you watching to a certain point, and then you couldn't take it anymore and just, like, said, fuck it?
I did that twice, and I was watching it through Twitch, and every time I tried going back to it, and it just ended up with more bullshit.
Okay, that's another question. What was the first point when you said, fuck it? What was that moment? I want to hear it from you, Jay.
Look, nothing against Kaylee. And nothing against so-and-so from...
Jeff Winger.
Fucking Winger.
No, fuck him. Fuck him.
No. Fuck nothing Joel against McHale. Him either. Because the way they set up the situation, there was no live studio audience. They put him in some fucking sewing factory bullshit that they renovated so it made it look like some sort of studio.
The budget location. Just say the budget location.
No, I don't want to say that because it looked decent. I mean, they had the super expensive car in the background.
Jay, did you see last year's show? The one that Samuel L. Jackson? Did you see that stage? You're telling me that this wasn't a budget show? Like, you're really going to say that? Really?
In comparison, last year was an actual award.
This shit wasn't even on cable. This was just internet.
You going to let me finish? You going to shut the fuck up? Let me finish.
Jay, come on, Jay.
Let me finish.
Jay, seriously?
Man, let me finish. Shut up.
Go ahead.
VGX is meant for an online-only type of idea. So basically, their whole thing was quick, flashy photography, a bunch of images flashing in front of you, and then they would show you their trailer, or they try to cut back to an interview, but nobody was ready from behind the scenes. You would consistently hear somebody say, "Oh shit, we have to go do this," and fucking Wenger and Keeley were not ready. They were not on cue, even though they were reading off a prompter or a cue card as fucking. We hear from goddamn community every time. We always say something about the goddamn prompter every fucking time in the middle of a live fucking recording of a taping of a fucking show, which you never do. Kept on doing that shit. But again, this was not the type of format he's ready and able to do stuff with. He's ready to do stuff in front of a live tape studio audience. He's ready to do shit in the middle of a movie. He's ready to do something that was not this. Basically, I'm guessing he either took the check and just went into it thinking, you know, it was going to be easy peasy, or he thought it was going to be something completely different from what he got, and he just got salty about it by the end of the show. And then he ended up putting that shit on Keeley, and Keeley was not ready for that shit, obviously.
I have never seen more awkward chemistry between two people, like, in my life. Like, that was just...
The whole time, it just seemed like Keeley was like, "What the fuck are you doing? Get out of here, please." But he couldn't actually say that.
It was just a lot of... Obviously, they could not fucking work off each other. And they ended up just... Eventually, they just split them away from each other. One of them ended up sitting back on the couch. He did his little spiel. Keeley was back doing an interview with somebody else. What was the most awkward thing that I saw was, and it's been brought up a couple times online, Keeley wanted to talk to Rich Fizeme from Nintendo, because Fizeme doesn't do anything for this type of shit. Like, he's all E3. He's all fucking TGS or some shit. In this, he's just like, okay, well, this is going to be the first iteration of this VGX thing. So I want to make it special. So Nintendo is going to show up and do their brand new thing through me. And everybody thought it was going to be this brand new game or something neat. Instead, it was, we're bringing Cranky Kong to fucking... Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was expecting either Smash Brothers or Mario Kart, and
I know, we talked about it.
And then they just give us something else for Donkey Kong. I was like, really?
Yeah, it was really bad when he like was obviously pointing to his fucking Metroid pin, and I was like, okay, well, he's got the guy from what was the name of the studio? They was talking know. About from the know. That did the remodeling of Metroid for Wii.
I don't even know.
Of course, nobody knows. Fucking, it was a guy from one of the studios that did like Metroid Prime, I guess it was, or something like that. They're now working on Donkey Kong, Tropical Freeze, and you see this Metroid pin, and you're thinking, okay, well, he's going to bring up a brand new Metroid game or something. It's obvious that you wouldn't just point to this pin and then have nothing come of it. And then Keeley all of a sudden was trying to poke and pry and say, okay, well, do you have, like, another announcement for us? This pisses off Fizeme. Winger's trying to say something, try to be funny at the time. This pisses off Fizeme even more, and you get fucking nothing from Nintendo. He's like, fuck you, Keeley, I'm out. And then everybody's just sitting there with their fucking dick in their hand. And that was the worst thing for me to see, because I'm like, why the fuck would you send... Why would Fizeme even agree to do this shit, knowing that this is live, even if it's not on television, and then just immediately bitch out like that at the end? It's silly.
I think we've seen in the past that Nintendo isn't really good at these, you know, secret reveals with a little hype about them. Remember the last time when they were hyping up, like, I think it was last E3, their big fighter for Super Smash Brothers ended up being that chick from CrossFit or some shit like that?
That was so bad.
Like, I understand that Nintendo is still on the whole hardline Japanese business model when it comes to their games. Like, they're always about whatever works, consistently hammer at that shit, renovate it, make it the best that it could possibly be, and even make it better afterwards, and people will love you for it. But Fizume is supposed to be the American face of this thing, and you figured he'd be, you know, somewhat flexible with this, but just, I don't know what happened. It just made it made fuck Keeley look like a little bitch twice over.
I mean, that's always like, what the fuck
is Fizume doing there? If not,
well, no, it was almost like Keeley was telling him, like, give me a big reveal, like, save this show, something. Please.
Give me something better than fucking Cranky Kong that obviously stole the fucking pogo jump shit from fucking DuckTales.
I mean, Keeley's always kind of a push for more information guy, but yeah. But I mean, Fizume was just on game trailers like 2 or 3 weeks ago showing off Donkey Kong, and then he shows up at this big show acting like they have some big news and announcement, and they show off the same game. I mean, it was... I've never been a fan of Fizume. I think he's an idiot. And... But that was just... I have no idea why he thought that was a good idea.
And just as a disclaimer, listeners, these are our own opinions. They're not the opinions of BSN, just in case.
Like, hell, they are.
We don't agree with BGX and what they stand for this shit. It was awful. The fuck. Another thing. The live music that they had going on for it, it was okay. It was a concert, but had nothing to do with what the hell they were trying to do. It's like, they're just like, okay, well, Rockstar's coming out. They're hiring all these bands to do their songs that they had on the GTA 5 soundtrack, which is awesome. But it really had nothing to do with what was going on inside of the fucking sewing factory room that they had going on for the rest of the show.
Yeah,
they would always cut back and forth in between to these different concert bits. And, like, they would always cut back to the sewing factory, like, since there's nobody in there besides people running the cameras and the fucking feeds in the back, I mean, you, again, would obviously hear something like, oh, shit, we kind of have to clap, or somebody would, like, ironically clap in the background, like, oh, yeah, this is the part where the studio audience would clap and say, yay, good audience performance thing for us to clap at. Got nothing. And it just was so fucking weird.
I mean, I won't even get into the people who were hosting whatever the fuck was outside, because as if the show wasn't bad enough already.
So, what, are you talking about the fuck who was outside?
Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck they were doing.
No, I'm putting it out there. Those dudes are coons.
That was Odd Future.
Those dudes are coons. That Marlon Wayans motherfucker, the dude in the blue suit, that looked like Marlon Wayans motherfucker. I'm serious, I'm gonna go there. That dude was like the 2013 Bojangles or something, but like, that shit was just, I was offended looking at him.
It's like they had no fucking idea what they were supposed to be doing.
They
were just jerking each other off. I was just like, what is the point of this?
They're just fucking waving their arms around screaming potato. This is really what fucking happened out there. Like, it was just, it was bad.
And I mean, the GTA thing, it was fine, but it really didn't have any business being there at the VGX.
Again, it goes back to, it really shows what happens when you have an actual award show versus what essentially turned into a clip show. I think along the lines of after they finish recording this stuff, I think you find it in games trailers, wherever, maybe Spike TV, they had a short and condensed version where they were able to edit out most of the bullshit out of this and make it look like an actual cohesive show, whatever they could say. I guess they would have to put a shit ton of ads in there.
No, I'm saying, like, ad for The Division, ad for, well, what else did they show there? For
the, yeah, like, all the ads for the actual games. Basically. I'm saying, like, ads to, like, patch over the very fucking bad, awkward moments that were live on Twitch.
Oh, okay, so the 15 minutes of the show, they actually gave out awards. They just cut that shit out.
Just all the bad shit they tried to pave over. I don't know. But like I said before, it just shows that when you actually have a scripted event type stuff, where they had Samuel L. Jackson, when they had Neil Patrick Harris, an actual award show that you would show up to, dress up, you would have the studio heads come down and everybody have a big speech and say thank you for the awards. It's like an actual award fucking show that people would watch. And then what the VGX was. Like, I don't know if I just, me being an old man nowadays, I don't get it. But if this was supposed to be something that's supposed to be for the newer age gamers, I don't know if I want to know what the fuck this thing is, because it was awful. I don't want to see this shit again. I don't want to even, I want VGX to be dead and buried next to the ET graves.
I mean, everybody, of course everybody poked fun at the VGAs. I mean, who didn't? But
Well, last year's VGAs wasn't half bad. I mean, compared to, like, the years before, where it was, again, the one 2 years ago was horrible.
I mean, but it was still watchable. And
debatable.
I've watching the VGAs, I've never actually thought, what the fuck did I just watch? Why did I waste my time with that? I mean, there were times during this VGX that I was actually pissed off that I actually watched this. I mean, I don't understand what the point of the show was. I mean, you go from an award show that has scripted stuff, it's done fairly well. I mean, and then you go to the VGX where it's just Keeley having to sit down with Joel McHale, who doesn't want to be there, and talking to developers, showing some trailers, and then every, like, 45 minutes, they'll quietly announce an award, and just, it was just a fucking shit show that I don't even know what the fucking point of it was.
Well, it just seems like what they were trying to do with VGAs, trying to make, because it's always been a sticking point with video games, you want to make them seem like art, have some air of respectability for these things, even though it consistently shoots itself in the foot time and time again. VGAs are kind of helping out with that a little bit. And what was one of the awards? Like Best Hero or something like that. And they would always show clips of like the dude from AC5, fucking Kenway. Like he was doing all this heroic shit, and then he would see something like Lara Croft was put up for the award too, and like everybody else is getting all their heroic 5-minute centerpiece. You go to Lara Croft, and this whole thing about being more fair to female gendered gamers, and then you see Lara Croft getting the shit beat out of her 5 seconds. And you're trying to have this whole air of respectability thing, and then you see some shit like that. I'm just, can't fucking do that, can you? If you want to have anybody care about this shit.
I didn't really see any errors of stability. I mean, the whole thing just seemed like a giant platform for what's coming out, and it seemed like a mini E3. Like, it's just a preview for what's coming out with, like, some awards thrown in. What did they give out, like, 4 or 5 awards?
I mean, if you're looking forward to maybe getting, like, a piece of plastic to put on your shelf and forget about it, fine. Yeah, VGX, awesome awards. But otherwise, you could find these trailers like a day after.
I mean,
and you would never have to care about BGX ever again. Or you would never have to
see
BGX.
You just
have the trailers.
That's it. Most of the trailers seem that fast, to be honest with you.
The one thing that stuck out for me, No Man's Sky?
Oh, No Man's Sky looks awesome, but I'm talking about something like The Vision, which I'm really excited for.
That trailer kind of annoyed me because I was like, we
already know it's pretty.
Yeah, we don't need an engine trailer. We've already seen trailers. Give us some more meat. I mean, let us know more of what the game's about.
And at the very least, if you have to go over graphics or whatever, yeah, do a, like, a little review for people who maybe forgotten what was going on with E3 or haven't seen what was going on in E3. And then do something with gameplay. I mean, obviously they weren't going to set something up like they did where, you know, you have some gameplay through a fucking demo or some shit while they're playing part of the game. Obviously you couldn't do that in that kind of format that they were doing on VGX, but something. I don't know.
But again, I mean, you know, Titanfall, which I'm really excited for. I do want to play that game, but did you show off 2 new mechs? Like, that's it? Wow, we have different mechs in the game. All right, that's cool. What else you got?
Titanfall to me seems like another one of those games where you're either going to buy it, you knew you were going to buy it the first time you heard about it, or you're not.
I'm saying like show something
other than cool. Just the two. Other than just the two mechs and like calling.
You're
gonna
have plastic mechs. Anybody could have figured that out. It wasn't just gonna be one mech. Wow, you have the heavy mech and you have the light mech. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if they showed like a match or two, I think that'd be cool.
A new level, a new map, some, you know, weather physics in there, you know, something that shows off the Xbox One's power. I mean, shit, this is your flagship game, and this is all you got for us?
Did it seem like there was any push or pull between Microsoft or Sony and all through this thing, or is it just one big jump of fuck to you guys? Because Nintendo obviously wasn't bringing shit.
I just didn't fucking care.
I didn't care. I mean,
nobody really showed off any exclusives, first-party exclusives. I mean, Titanfall was there, but that's still EA. So, I mean, neither company really showed off their own games. Was Infamous... No, Infamous wasn't shown, nope. Was it?
Put it this way, there was no Metal Gear-type reveal this year.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Telltale Games is, you know, making a game for basically every property out there. Alright, that's cool, but it ain't that sizzle. Even though Borderlands... I'll probably check that out.
It was really weird because I was really excited for... They're already doing The Wolf Among Us. They're doing more with The Walking Dead Season 2. And then you hear stuff like Tales from the Borderlands. Okay, cool. And then I hear stuff about Game of Thrones. I'm more excited about that for some weird reason. Does it feel like they're spreading themselves too thin for you guys?
See, that I've heard a lot about that. But, I mean, their games aren't gameplay heavy, it's more story, so I mean I think that they're fine.
Yeah, but then that's like that's writing though. Like you're kind of like stacking your load up there with a writing. You have to write all of these different scripts. That's taxing, not just the gameplay mechanics. To make a tight script for these type of games takes a lot of effort.
I mean obviously like their studio's grown obviously in order to be trusted with a bunch of these different IPs. It just feels like to me, you're going to get like the better writers and then you're going to split them apart when really you want them all working on one game to put out a big solid game versus now you're spreading them apart to all these different IPs and like, yeah, you'll get some good writing on Tales of the Borderlands, but maybe you won't get as good writing as you would if you had everybody working on like The Walking Dead or The Wolf Among Us that's about to come out. So, I don't know, I would rather see them be more focused on stuff versus... Even though they haven't given us like a release date yet for the other two games that may or may not be coming out even this year,
I think the new two ones. I think they both announced 2014.
Okay, so next year.
I think even Tales from the Borderlands is supposed to be fairly earlier in the year as well.
I don't really see them past like a spring release though. Maybe summer at the earliest for me. I mean, if they do it earlier, like March, April, cool, fine. But it's not going to be something that's going to be longer than an hour or 2 hour tops, I would think. But who knows? Hopefully they'll prove me wrong.
I mean, Handsome Jack is back. I was excited. But it's a Telltale game, so, I mean, it's just narrative.
I mean, until they mess something up, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
And if they can make a working handheld version, I'd be very appreciative of that.
Yeah. I mean, if they give me something like Back to the Future versus Jurassic Park, I'll be fine. Jurassic Park was fucking terrible.
Telltale, just fix the glitchiness. That's all I ask. Just fix that.
Put it on the Vita, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, make a workable Vita version. None of this Walking Dead shit that don't work.
Yeah. Don't worry about iOS too much. Put it on handheld.
No, fuck it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
So,
go ahead.
No, the Double Fine game looked fucking cool as shit. I like that game.
Yeah.
That game looks fucking pretty.
Yeah, and just being able to get somebody like Elijah Wood to come and do your voicing for your games, a pretty good get, knowing what he's being involved with as far as like movies and television and stuff. So.
Yeah, he's a Wolfred.
Yup. I'm hoping they do better next year. I hope they don't keep this format and just go back to doing award show. It just feels like
There's no more money for an award show.
Yeah,
this is it from now on.
If they're doing this at all.
I mean, they'll probably tweak it. They know it sucked. They have to.
I mean,
I just feel bad. I feel bad for the people that really thought this was going to work, and now you're gonna have, the bigger studios are gonna look at this and say, "This is not fucking E3, people. We're not gonna fucking soil our hands on VGX. That's dumb."
I mean, here's what I would do. I mean, first, like's been mentioned, it's not E3. I mean, we love the trailers and announcements. But we need to focus on the awards, first and foremost. Developer, if you want to do the sit-downs with developers, that's completely fine with me. I was looking forward to that. Just don't bring Joel McHale back to do it, because, I mean, let Jeff do it on his own. He obviously loves games. I enjoy watching him talk to people during E3. Just let him talk to the people by himself. Keep it under 2 hours. 3 hours was a bit ridiculous. I mean,
they have people working at GameStory, like Keely. I can't remember the dude with like the longer hair, the one female reporter they have going on there. Like, maybe do something pre-taped and just switch over to it after you're saying like, okay, well now we have so-and-so talking to a Nintendo representative or somebody working from an indie developer.
Exactly.
And just cut over to that.
Exactly. I mean, I would really like them to go back to VGAs. I don't know if they will. I highly doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely needs to be awards-focused with the talking to developers, the reveals and whatnot. That's fine. Just don't make that what your show is about, because it's not E3. But yeah, keep it under 2 hours. Don't have some stupid-ass people outside having no idea what they're doing, talking about music that really has nothing to do with what the show is about.
And being cool, generally.
And don't have people on the show that don't want to be there. I just wanted to kill Joel McHale because he didn't want to be there, and it was painful.
Swally, was it the basement jokes? Is that what got to you? He was kind of going in with those. He kept juicing them. Like, I think like every 5 minutes.
It was everything.
Yeah, you could have done
Cheeto stain bullshit.
Yeah,
I mean that was another big thing that really annoyed me. I know we gamers like to dog on other gamers. But the where they took it with the show, with like even those stupid ass skits, I mean, that's not professional at all.
Oh, actually, the Dude Bro gimmick was kind of funny.
I mean, I would have enjoyed them in a different setting, but I just thought
you could have like one, you know, one's funny.
Like
one's funny. They had like seven.
Like Samuel L.'s skits. I thought those were completely fine. But, I mean, some of this stuff making fun of each other, and I was just like, we're gamers. Why are you making fun of gamers? I was just like, it just felt like it was for a different time and place.
I mean, if they had less PewDiePie, I think I'd be happier in the long run. Just none of that.
Yeah, there'd be nobody from YouTube. Generally flipping off your audience constantly during the show is not a good idea.
No, yeah, I mean,
ain't a good look.
But, yeah. Fuck it. Hopefully they do better next year. We have to move on, though.
Oh, bitch, you don't die.
Let's talk about the Pokemans. You want to go back to your Pokemans, or you want to talk about this week in news?
Talking week in news, I'll get back to it. I'm in a fucking battle right now.
Okay. So, Riley, what we got this week in news?
Well, of course there is that whole big YouTube fiasco. And, I mean, it doesn't affect me because I don't really put anything on YouTube, maybe like twice a year. But there are a lot of people freaking out. YouTube apparently put in this new system that flags a whole bunch more content. And if you get flagged enough times, you can get your shit shut down. And that's quite a bit of money for a lot of these gamers who do Let's Play and walkthroughs and stuff. I mean, I know I look at that stuff all the time. And I'm sure those people are making quite a bit of money. What I did like was yesterday that quite a few major publishers came out in support of gamers and said, if this happens to you, make sure that you...
motherfucker!
And they were like, if this happens to you, make sure you're on it right away and we will get it taken care of for you. But, I don't really understand what YouTube's trying to do here.
Oh, it wasn't so much put eloquently, but it was put angrily, if you're going to use a pun here, and somewhat succinctly. Angry Joe from YouTube.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of his revenue off online stuff, especially like his reviews of games. And like he'll have some game footage set up, but it's nothing that would really cause any YouTube flagging. Because obviously there's a lot of, I could tell you from experience, like looking on YouTube, like there's a lot of flip cam movies where like all the lettering's backwards, so nobody can actually see anything as far as advertisements are concerned. Anything that would actually give away something as far as like a full movie or like copyrighted like wrestling matches and shit like that, they would always have flip cam as well, so you couldn't actually get flagged for that. But you're seeing shit like this where people are, and I kind of get both sides, because if you are somebody like myself who's supremely amateurish and doesn't actually set up any videos, but maybe be able to stream something and like chop it up a little bit like Windows Movie Player and then put it on YouTube and just say, okay, fuck it, whatever happens, happens. Some of that stuff might have gotten flagged. Maybe I deserved it, maybe I didn't, but nobody's going to care about my shit. But you'll see something like Angry Joe. I think he had something along the lines of like 6 or 7 of his videos. And a lot of his stuff was something that you... either you couldn't or you shouldn't have gotten flagged for on YouTube. A lot of stuff had stuff to do with game music. And a lot of stuff, like, he actually asked developers, he asked certain companies, okay, can I use this footage in my video? I'm going to make money off this, but I want to make sure with you first if this is okay. And these videos are flagged. What was really funny about this stuff was a lot of times when he got flagged, it wasn't from this company.
No, thank you, Nurse Troy.
You okay there, buddy?
Oh, what's up?
He's having a conversation with Nurse Joy.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm thanking her. She thanked me, but I really gotta thank her.
Okay.
Oh, man, my frog of deal went down, man. It gets real out here.
Fucking fucking dance.
Serious, man. Actually, no, I want to ask you a question real quick. Like, not to interject, Jake. I have not been paying attention to any of this, but this whole YouTube thing, like, is it affecting, like, the mid guys, like Angry Joe, or, like, the lower guys, like, someone like UJ? Like, is this attacking the big wigs too, like Machinima and, like, Ref3D Games? Like, are they getting it too, or are they exempt?
I don't think it's so much of an exemption. I think everybody's getting hit. It just depends on where your level on the ladder. Like, if you're somebody like me, if I get flagged, that's nothing. I'm not getting paid for this shit. I can post whatever the fuck I want on YouTube. That's fine. I'm not getting paid. But if you are getting paid for your stuff, like Angry Joe is getting paid for his stuff, if you're getting anonymously flagged by somebody or some company that is getting paid to do these flaggings for whatever reason, and you get hit by these things, if you get hit a number of times, like you know this, you get hit a number of these times, your shit gets shut down, and then, like, your source of income, which is providing content on, let's say, YouTube, is gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it just, like, the mid-level and lower-level guys, or are the bigwigs, like Machinima and Rev3 Games, getting flagged, too?
I really haven't heard anything as far as,
because I know Machinima does walkthroughs, I know Rev3 Games does walkthroughs, I know they're using this footage. Are they getting it too?
I don't know if they've been flagged, but I have seen both.
I haven't seen anything to mention as far as
I have seen Sessler getting brought up in these conversations. Yeah, I don't know if he's been flagged, but but I know he's getting brought up in the conversations.
Well, I can see him covering it, but I'm wondering, is Cecil losing videos? Is Josh Miller losing videos? That's what I want to know.
I think a lot of the mid to upper mid tier people on YouTube that are providing a shit ton of content for YouTube, they're more vocal about it on places like Twitter, where everybody sees it. Like, I've seen, I hate to bring up names, but folks like a Gassy Mexican, in Eat My Addiction.
My boy Dino George, who's been on the show before, I know he went off on it, because they fight a lot of his shit, too.
Yeah, you would definitely hear more from them, because they are singular entities. They aren't corporate entities where you have money enough to make the shit go away.
Okay, so they're kicking the big guys. The small business.
They're making it, like, a lot of the stuff, and Angry Joe has mentioned this very angrily, actually. He's mentioned this.
Well, he is.
I know, but he very pointedly mentions that YouTube made all their money off of the content creators. Then when they got hit by all these anonymous flags, or not so anonymous flags, they just decided, fuck it. You guys get what you get, because this is the new system, this is the way it is. If you don't like it, you can still provide shit for YouTube, but you're just not going to get paid for it, so... Here you go. But luckily, like Swirly had said before, a lot of the publishers are coming out and saying, okay, well, we know that you guys are getting whacked by this stuff, and it's not coming from us. It's from somebody else, and we're going to help you guys out. What was really funny was seeing a lot of stuff as far as, like, Nintendo and how they were seeing a lot of their videos through Let's Plays and little clips here and there and music and stuff like that, how they were just saying, you know what, whatever, we're not going to help you. And then all of a sudden they're saying, you know, we changed our mind. We are going to help some of these people out. Just like this big, huge PR move that was just like, oh, we got caught saying, fuck you guys, and now we don't want to look bad, so we're going to come back and, you know, change our minds. It just seemed very fishy to me.
I mean, it just really sucks for these, like a lot of these higher-up Twitch streamers who make their living off of ad revenue from Twitch and YouTube. I mean, a lot of their stuff they upload to YouTube with Let's Play and walkthroughs. I mean, they're doing that work. I mean, they're providing the talk over the games. They're entertaining you. They're providing help with walkthroughs and whatnot. I mean, it's not just like they're uploading just gameplay by itself and they're just aping a developer's work. I mean, they're providing a service on top of other things. So, I mean, it really sucks for them.
They're living embodiments of advertisement for these games, for these products that would normally would either you'd have to go to a site like IGN and maybe your shit would get buried. Like a lot of the independent games that came out, like Stanley Parable, a lot of the stuff, if it didn't show up on Let's Plays on YouTube or wasn't streamed on Twitch, nobody would give a fuck about this stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
but since it was, they got a shit ton of advertisement, and now.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. This Twitch streaming and Let's Plays, walkthroughs, it's great free advertisement. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen Man vs. Game, Dan's Gaming, somebody like that playing a game that I didn't have, and I had to go out and buy it because it looked so much fun when they were playing it. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
I wasn't going to play Hotline Miami. I wasn't going to play a Spelunky game. But I brought this up multiple times on previous casts. I've played these games now that I've seen these being streamed on Twitch. Like, once I saw these casters, once I saw these YouTube content creators play this stuff and show it through video, now I want to play it because it's all this advertising versus hearing something from somebody that I may or may not believe on, like an IGN or GamesRadar or a Giant Bomb. Like, maybe I don't believe in their opinions, but if I see somebody that I like and how they're having fun with this and how they have similar interests in gaming, if I dig their stuff, then I want to play it too. And now that might be taken away. I hope it's not. I really hope that these people get their money. Or at least something.
a lot of these people, along the lines
of getting a compromise with YouTube, because it really sounds like YouTube still doesn't give a fuck, which is really fucking sad, because they're going to lose one of their top revenue services, because you can only put so many fucking cat videos on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, they need to pull a stick out of their ass.
What's really weird about this is that, as far as this goes, you do have to look at stuff as far as copyright law is concerned. Because, I mean, if you're getting somebody that is willy-nilly getting a bunch of copyrighted music and just throwing it on their videos and not asking permission to do this stuff, and then they're getting paid for shit that they obviously didn't ask to use, that's shitty. So I feel for these companies that feel like, you know, where's our cut in this? Because this is obviously our property, and you guys are making money off of it, so what the fuck? But, I don't know. It's a bunch of sticking points as far as what do you consider a person's property versus a company's property when it comes to this stuff. And I don't think this stuff's going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm sure it'll be a hot-button topic for a while.
Yeah. And what's really bad is, as much as a bunch of people on Twitter or wherever like to say, okay, well, you know what, fuck YouTube, I'm just going to get all my stuff off of Twitch. Twitch is fine, but everybody knows what the fuck YouTube is. People are just starting to figure out what Twitch is.
Yeah.
So, like, YouTube's public. Everybody goes to YouTube. And that's where you get... That's where you used to get a bunch of your ad revenue service when YouTube was coming up. And now everybody uses YouTube so that everybody's slice of pie is getting thinner and thinner versus on Twitch, which is... You're going to try really fucking hard to get on the front page, but once you get there, you're there. It's going to take you a couple of years to do it, but you'll eventually get there, hopefully, if you're really good at it. But it's just... People are cutting their nose off despite their faces and, like, all fronts on this shit. So, and I'm going to feel really bad because a bunch of these casters and YouTube people may be losing what they would consider their jobs over this shit. Because nobody's going to want to help them. So, I don't know. We got any more news this week?
Steam, the 300 beta testers for the Steam machines... The prototype Steam machine shipped out today.
Sweet.
So it'll be, I mean, that's not a lot of people, but it'll be really interesting over the next few weeks to hear some thoughts on that.
I definitely want to see what they do as far as compatibility goes for these Steam boxes. Because I really don't want it to go the way of the Ouya. And how it was the, if you're not counting the Wii U, they were really trying to become the third option and not just being PC. And if Steam is going to pull something off where you would get games and play your Steam games off the shit, I really hope this stuff would work if they go through it with the beta testing. And I hope it does work because I really would love to see people being able to stream stuff, not just on their PC, but on something like this. And maybe not just League of Legends, maybe not just Dota, but, you know,
I think a big thing about this is going to be what these things end up costing.
Yeah, it cannot cost.
I mean, it's got to be console priced, or I mean, there's no point to it. You can just build yourself a PC.
Yeah, if it costs more than $500, fuck it. You might as well, like you said before, just then. You might as well just start building your own rig.
I mean, it's not too terribly hard to hide a PC in the living room.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And for the most part, when you're PC gaming nowadays, just going back a couple seconds to streaming and stuff like that, I mean, more or less nowadays, whenever you're playing online, maybe you want to stream something. So, you would want to build a rig. And now you see stuff like the Steam Box and what you can do, what you can't do with it. I just hope there's a lot of compatibility and being able to do stuff with it versus having to be confined to what you can do with a PlayStation 4 or what you can do with an Xbox One. So, and that controller's not doing any favors for him. I'm sorry.
I am very skeptical about that thing. I mean, I hope it's intuitive and I hope it works, but it looks weird.
Dub, you here?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about the Steam Box?
I want to see price points before. I mean, getting beta testers, you know, how they see it. You know, that's all fine and dandy, but it's not going to matter if the price point isn't there, because I can always build one and install SteamOS myself.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maddie, hey?
What up, baby?
What do you think about the Steam Box?
Don't these have Titans in them?
They could. The prototypes, the ones they're sending out right now, I think they might actually have.
Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, right off the bat, fuck that $500 price point right now. You got a Titan in there. Titan by itself costs more than $500.
You're not going to happen. I don't think they're going to be $500.
No, it's not.
A lot more than that.
No. Hell of a lot more. They're going to be I'm guessing, like, what, 800 to, what, 11?
I mean, if that's the price point, there's really no point to them.
Not really.
Just saying, I can build my own.
It's cool if, you know, because there's some people out there who don't know how to build PCs, and, you know, you see it's all in there, right? It's got the Steam OS in there. I can see the appeal to it, but I don't think you could do...
I mean, if it's not a good price, it's going to fall flat on its face.
Yeah. I really hope nobody would be dumb enough to say, okay, well, this is the third type of a console, because my kid doesn't want a Wii or Wii U. They would just come up and say, okay, well, the Steam Box has all these games on it, or has the potential to get all these games on it. I'll get it, and then paying $1,100 for that shit? Even as a Christmas gift?
It's
fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid.
If you're buying the $1,100 one, you're not buying it for a kid. I mean, let's put that out there right now. That's not the audience for this thing.
It's fucking terrible if you do that shit. That kid is never going outside again, ever. So, I don't know. Okay, do we have any more news, Swirly?
A few things, just a note. We don't have to talk about them, but there were no buyers for the Kingdoms of Amalur. That's kind of sad.
Should just buy that shit again and just say, fuck it.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It seemed like a promising series and nobody wants it. That sucks. Ubisoft talked to IGN, and Rainbow Six Patriots is still there. It's being completely redone because it just didn't work. So it's being completely rebuilt from the ground up. It may not even have the same subtitle of Patriots anymore, but Rainbow Six is in development.
So Patriots got canceled.
Their project got canned, and they have to remake everything that they were doing.
They're making another one. They scrapped it all together.
And Sony announced today, after their sales numbers came out, they announced that there are epic announcements coming next year.
Good thing next year is in about a month.
It seems like they're leading more towards E3. There could be a couple things before that, but they said they're really excited for E3, and there's some epic announcements are being promised.
More Kingdom Hearts! Okay, so before we go here, folks, we do have one more thing we have to do besides shoutouts and outros, and that is Pimp.
Hold on, whoa, you forget something. I still got to review Pokemon, all right? Let me do my 5 seconds left.
Well, I forgot about that shit, man.
I know, so did I. I didn't remember it. I'm in a battle right now, but Butterfree wants to learn more Whirlwind, all right? And I gotta think this through. So while I'm thinking it through, I'm going to review the game, all right? Now, for Black Friday, I picked up my sexy-ass Med Edition, You can see that picture's on Virtual Sports Network soon, so definitely check out the arcade. You will see the Met Edition Special 101. Alright? Red Pokemon 3DS XL. My favorite handheld by far. Seriously, fuck you, Vita. It's done. I can't find you. I'm not even looking for you. There ain't nothing there for me. This thing right here is titties. Alright? Pokemon Y is titties. Alright? This is probably the best handheld game I've played in the past decade. Alright? Then again, I don't play a lot of handheld games to begin with, so you know what? Doesn't matter. Alright? Game of the year right now, I'm gonna spoil it for y'all. Pokemon Y.
He's dropped the mic.
He's dropped the mic.
I think he's dropped the mic.
Okay. Game of the year, Pokemon Y. It's done.
I'm so sorry, Song, but Elizabeth, I really didn't.
Well, that wasn't Game of the Year anyways.
It was for me. By far.
It's because someone missed playing the Game of the Year.
What about...
No, I actually did play it.
And oh, yeah?
And I stopped to play something fun.
Oh, so you didn't play it?
No, I did.
No, that's what I understand. You didn't play it.
I don't want to have fun, though, with the game, so I just... I'll see when it comes out as a movie. I'll see when it comes out as a movie.
Yeah, because we all know how those go.
Exactly. Or I'll just, you know, I'll check out the clip version on YouTube. If it's still up on YouTube, I will check that out. Just all the cutscenes, one by one.
Shit. He's really open for another Resident Evil series. Just the Game of the Year instead. Jesus.
Oh, can I have like a little, you know, little caveat of the Game of the Year cast? It's not my baby this year. But if we do worst Game of the Year, which we should,
We
call it the Honorary RE6 Award? Can we do that?
Why not?
Okay, that's all I want. Everything else, you know, y'all do what the fuck you want with it. That's all I want. Just call it the worst game of the year, the RE6 Award. That's it.
So, Game of the Year podcast will be our next show. It will be next weekend. We will have our own topics of discussion to talk about, ranging from best game, best exclusives, best whatever, to our honorary RE6 Game of the Year.
Yeah, baby!
Characters, whatnot. On virtualsportsnetwork.com, we will have a Game of the Year voting thread, which will be up as soon as the podcast is up. So make sure you go and post your choice in there, so you can have a vote on VSN's official Game of the Year that we will announce on the next podcast.
Yeah, check us out on Twitter. Probably links to those threads in the forums from, was it the_real_VSN, right?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
That's where we're posting from now.
It's VSN Gaming.
Yep.
Is VSN Gaming now?
It's
ownership, baby.
It's the same page as the real VSN, just they changed the name.
Okie dokie. Alright, so VSN Gaming from Twitter. You'll get links to those forum threads and put in some votes so we can talk about Game of the Year and all the different topics we'll be talking about for next week's podcast. Hopefully it'll go a little better than this week's did. So, without further ado, set this podcast, shout-outs and outros, starting out with Mr. Producer Man himself, Swirly. You got any shout-outs?
Shout-outs, my regular shout-outs to Foot and Strike. Shout-outs to the Apex Racing Series. We've got Forza going on. First race night is happening this weekend. GT6 League has been officially announced, and sign-ups are going on for that. So come on by, and shout-out to our new owners of VSN.
Our new overlords and masters.
There's more than one?
Yes.
Bill and Thomas.
Oh, I didn't know Thomas owned it. But good for him.
Yep.
I thought it was just Bill.
Oh, no, there's two. They're both very cool dudes. I'm not being funny about it. They're actually pretty cool. Anyways. Shout-outs.
I just want to give a shout-out to my resident high school for being nearly 20
seasons. Fuck! God damn it!
You had to bring that up.
Yes, I did. And it
I will be your high school. I will be your high school. One day.
Want to bet?
Want to bet?
I don't throw anybody on a fucking high score.
You're not even going to play the game long enough. There's no games. You're just going to quit. You're just going to quit.
You're a dingus. You got any other shout outs besides your high score?
How dare you,
Jay? Oh, my high score stands alone.
Okay. Med, shout outs.
Shout out to this Pokemon training episode. How the hell are you going to send a Litleo against my Pikachu? Seriously? Don't make me bring out my Butterfree, bitch.
Oh. A lot of people aren't. Do they still have like the Elite Four or Elite Eight in there?
Oh, I ain't even in there. I put like 15 hours into this game. I only got one badge. I love this fucking game. Alright? I'm going to put in like 200 hours into this game easily. And I'm going to love every second of it. Alright? Put that out there. So you know what? Shout out to Nintendo, and shout out to Pokemon Y, and shout out to Game Freak. I think it's Game Freak who developed the game, right? 15 years strong, I'm back into it, loving it! I'm not gonna drop the mic again because I got some other shout outs, though I can't. Alright? Shout out to Jason Rubin, because since the last time I've been on this show, I got into a little beef with him. Jason Rubin, if you don't like what I got to say, which apparently you didn't, alright? Feel free to come on the show. Got a seat right here for you, bro. Talk about whatever you like, alright? Next up, shout out to the Celtics, because y'all bitch slapped the Knicks tonight. Seriously. Fuck the Knicks. Alright? Fuck them hard.
I love your hate for the Knicks. It's so awesome.
I just hate them so much. Like, Sagona's dead and buried, so now it's the Knicks. It's them now. But seriously, fuck the Knicks. I can't state that enough. Next up, shout out to the Honey in the Handkerchief Skirt. If you're playing Pokemon Y, you know who I'm talking about. She's always a good dip. That's all I'm going to say. Fireworks scene. You know what I'm talking about. All right, shout out to Rusty for having me on the show. Shout out to Jay for going there. How dare you, Jay? How dare you? On this show.
On the show of all shows. Shame on me. Shout outs to my Resogun high score.
This shit don't deserve a
shout-out,
Jay. Come on, now.
Well, shout-out to the listeners out there. Thank you for listening. Hopefully, you know, in some form of this podcast, you won't get my eternal rage for certain things. It'll be a good podcast for you to listen to. If it's not edited out...
Oh, it's edited out.
Sorry.
You hear that? The new regime is already censoring the VSN.
New overlords will not have that bullshit. Not in this podcast.
The first step to OS begins.
Look, if you want corporate sponsorship, you can't shit on certain people. Just saying.
No, it's just not understandable. Yelling.
A lot of rage and a lot of screaming.
I don't know, Jay, there are certain sacred cows, all right, that you can't speak out against, all right? Let that be a lesson.
We shit on Fizume for a good hour.
Because you can.
We're okay.
Hey. You know who's flagged. Hey, you know who's flagged the top of this ship, right?
Sorry, Steve.
It is Japanese. Let me just say that right now.
Sorry, Gaben. My bad. Shout-outs again, listeners. Shout-outs to... Versus Sports Network for continuing to allow us to use their name for this podcast. You know who you are. Shout-outs to Nub. Shout-outs to Med for being here on the podcast. Shout-outs to Swirly for taking the time out of his busy schedule to actually produce this podcast, even though it took us a fuck ton just to start it, and it's totally my fault. So.
Absolutely your fault.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, also thank you. We owe an apology to somebody else.
Nope. Good.
To all those humans you killed.
Not only them, to Kaz. Come on now, Jay.
Who do I gotta apologize to?
To Kaz.
Fuck him.
edit out that last part right now.
Jay. Who else? Shout outs to the Clan Strike Team.
Jay, you're fired.
Everybody. You know who you are. Thank you for listening. Go listen to Game of the Year podcast when it comes out next week. Put in your input on virtualsportsnetwork.com/forums. Make sure you sign up for the forums. Before you do that, check out the rest of the site. It's good stuff. Anyways, we got to go. Say goodbye, everybody.
Smooches.
Later.
One, two, three, and to the four. Snoop Dogg. Snoopy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dough. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
Cause you know we're about to rip shit up.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-Bang, baby. Two low-death niggas, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays, man.